we've been wondering since they've had the latest, like, bug eye bush baby guy and the Special Olympics guy and the mother and daughter with the pasty skin and the very red lips.
Can they get any better?
We were wondering how they go through the real process, really, on American Idol. Let's now welcome to the show. Well, the guy's name is Dre Black.
Hi, Dre.
Hey, Dre.
Hey, how you doing, man? How you doing?
Hey, what's happening, my friend? Dre auditioned for American Idol 2 years ago.
Yep.
When guy for that pretty boy from Sugar Ray was on the panel.
Right.
Yeah, Mark McGrath. Mark McGrath.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what we are wondering,
I got so many questions about behind the scenes.
First, how far did you get when you auditioned?
Well, there was three phases of auditions. I made it past the first two, and then the third audition was actually in front of Simon, Paula, and Randy.
See, now, Mike, there's something we didn't know right there,
there are three phases.
There are two auditions before they get in front of the big three.
Now, right. Are you able to see other people audition in the early stages? I know they keep you out of the room when you're before Randy and Simon and Paula, but my question is, do they let people that are so bad they're good through, and do they tell them that? I mean, there's so many questions about the phases you go through. You know, how isolated are you when you're auditioning in the early rounds, and do you know, what happens? Because I really have no idea how it works. All we see, obviously, on television is when they're auditioning in front of the big three.
Right. Well, the initial audition, which was the first audition, they put you in a big room, so it's like everybody's in that room.
Okay, so everybody sees you auditioning.
Yeah, everybody's in there auditioning. I mean, like, they separate you, and, like, it was, like, 30 groups in there, and, like, 30 groups was actually singing on at the same time in front of the associate producer, so it was just, like, people trying to scream over each other, people singing this song, people singing that song.
Oh, that's got to be fun.
Yeah, so it's the first audition was kind of crazy because you really didn't know what to expect.
All right, Dre, here's a follow-up on that. When you were in this big cattle call with everybody singing at once, did you notice anybody going to the challenged person, the borderline retarded person, and saying to them, "We got to have you right now"?
Well, I didn't actually see it personally, but, when I made it through, that first initial stage,
right,
and then I got to the second audition phase where I auditioned in front of the executive producers. I believe his name is Nigel, and the other guy's name is Simon, too. But during that phase, I got a chance to see how it really works,
And how does it really work at the second phase? I mean,
second phase, the people that aren't so great, they kind of just whisk them on through, and, they audition again for the judges, and, they whisk them on through that round.
All right, let me stop you right there, because that's where we were yesterday was with the questions. Those people you're talking about that aren't that good, they're obviously being whisked through because they're there for comic relief. Do they say anything to them to indicate that that's true, or do they just get them through really quickly so they can let the big three judges handle it?
If they get them through really quickly, and actually, how I also know is because it was this girl, we kind of, you're down there so long, and you meet everybody, and you kind of form little bonds with people.
Right.
And this one girl, she was absolutely horrible, you hear me? And she was picked to do, like, something extra, where you get extra camera time, and, just because she was so bad,
right,
what I mean?
Right.
I mean, it was clearly, that she could not sing at all.
All right, Dre, here's something I read in the New York Times over the weekend. I mentioned this a couple of times, that Simon Cowell said that when they get someone that's really awful, they, meaning the big three, they say to them before they roll cameras, "You're really no good, and we're just going to say bad stuff to you." And those people go on anyway.
Yeah.
To your knowledge, do they actually do that?
Yeah, well, if you notice, this season was the first season that I've really noticed that, that the bad ones, they really let them sing a long time. Usually they'd be like, "No, okay, that's enough. Thank you." They stop you in the middle of it. But this season, it seems like they're carrying it on just a little bit more, mm-hmm. just for the extra shock value or, the humor value, for TV.
Here's another one for you. In the final audition, because you were not one of the retarded people, You made it to the third round. They must have thought you had some talent. Did they tell you what song to sing? Did they give you options? Did they give you hints? Or did you just go and just do whatever you want?
Okay, well, when I auditioned for the second time in front of the executive producers, I sang Rock With You by Michael Jackson. And then they told me to sing another song, and I sang Let's Stay Together by Al Green.
Right, they probably said, you know, don't sing the song by the pedophile, sing the song by a reverend.
And that's exactly what he said. He said, you know, I think that you should sing Let's Stay Together besides, you know, Rock With You. I think Let's Stay Together will really, you know, secure you a spot, you know, in Hollywood. So I'm like, okay, okay. So that's what I sang for the judges. But apparently the judges didn't like that choice. They told me, you know, they would have preferred me singing Rock With You.
Oh, now listen, so at that point, then, do you go back to Nigel? I mean, well, you already kicked off the show.
You're done at that point. And you said
you're pretty much done at that point.
It was a split decision. Who liked you?
Well, Randy liked me. Paula was in the middle. You know, Randy was really like, he really digged me. You know, he gave me a yes. Paula was kind of in the middle. Simon was like, you know, the thing about singers like me is that they get halfway through the competition and then they get booted off, which I still to this day really don't understand what that meant.
Well, that's got to kill you, though, if Paula was on the fence.
Yeah, she was on the fence, you know, and it was really, and I just knew that she was going to be the one that was, you know, all for me, because even when in my audition, when I was singing, I made sure that I made eye contact with Paula and was kind of like, you know, giving her hand gestures, trying to sing to her.
That's got to kill you. That's got to kill you as you go forward watching the show, especially seeing people that you think you, and maybe you know you were better than.
And here's another question.
Oh, man, yeah.
And
it kills me because, you know, when I watch it now and just seeing how, you know, people just stop and say, well, let me sing another song. And then that second song that they might sing, you know, change their minds. And, you know, when they told me, you know, stop, that was enough, I didn't even think to say, well, let me sing another song. Or let me, you know, I just was like, okay, whatever. You know,
sing, not that it matters now, sing 30 seconds for us, of, if you don't mind, of Let's Stay Together. And then sing 30 seconds of Rock With You.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Good.
All right.
Let's stay together.
I'm so in love with you. Whatever you wanna do, it's all right with me.
That was horrible.
You make me feel so brand new.
Shut up.
And I don't wanna spend my life with you.
You look like one of those creatures that live in the jungle with those massive eyes.
Oh, Simon,
what
shut up.
Called?
Simon, shut up.
Bush baby.
Simon, you are sick.
Bush babies.
Okay, now sing the Michael Jackson, please.
Now that, I mean, as far as, you know, the people we've been listening to, you are on key. You can sing a tune, which is, I mean, that's got to get you through, I would say, the first round, right?
Right.
And that got you, obviously, to the big three.
So now let's hear the kid toucher, some Michael Jackson.
Okay. Girl, close your eyes. Let the rhythm get into you. Don't try to fight it, 'cause there ain't nothing that you can do. Oh, relax your mind.
Hey, Dre.
You got to feel that beat.
Simon was right. Yeah. He's one of the people that would make it halfway through.
Oh. I wanna rock with you all night.
All right, I'm giving you a round of applause.
What the bloody hell was that?
So I totally like the Al Green.
It was almost non-human.
Oh, Simon, stop that.
We liked Al Green
That's
better.
That's terrible.
So now, do you have a chip on your shoulder, Dre, against American Idol?
Of course not.
When you go out and you try to get gigs singing, do you tell people I made it? Almost on American Idol?
No, I mean, I used to, you know, kind of when it, you know, first ended. You know, I love American Idol. I don't think I would audition again, just for the simple fact that, you know, the whole process is really draining. And when you see a lot of those people really crushed and broken, I mean, that stuff is for real, I mean, because you wait so long for one.
What is the, you know, that's a good question. What is the total time commitment? How much time before you get there, I'm talking arriving, until you get in front of Simon, Paula, and Randy?
Okay, well, the audition was actually on a Wednesday. I went there Tuesday night around 10 o'clock. Pretty much I was towards the end of the line because, as you know, people were lined up prior way before,
right.
You know, So I got there like 10 o'clock that night, and I did not see the first. I didn't go to the first audition until 8 p.m. on Wednesday.
Yeah.
Oh, that's and look, mind you, I didn't go down there with. I didn't have any money on me. I had no food. Oh. I had no change of clothes. I had
You're saying the
12
first,
hours.
The first audition was not until 12 hours later?
Yeah, that was just the first audition. And then I had to come back the second day for the second audition, which was a whole other process.
Imagine how bad like the retarded people must smell. If they've been waiting, like the Bush baby guy, you've been waiting 12 hours with that guy stinking up the joint.
Well, no wonder the people like have total meltdowns, too, because it's so stressful when they get to that level. And how did Paula appear to you?
Yes.
Paula is very short in person, I must say.
She's short. Okay. Did she appear to be effed up?
I mean, even then when I auditioned in front of them, you know, it was the whole process was so surreal to me. It was like it wasn't even happening when it was going on. But right. Like Simon, he seemed really cool. He was very cool and laid back. Paula was, I don't know if she was going through something that day, but she was kind of more like on edge compared to Randy and Simon.
Yeah. All right. Mike just did the Paula sniffing sound.
Sure.
Dre, thank you. Last question.
Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, of course, in some ways it's rigged, as we said, that they pulled the not great people to the front. Do you think you got gypped? Do you think it's a fix? Do you think it's a setup? Do you think it's a clean game? You know what I mean? I mean, is it really a talent competition, or at this point,
you had said, do you think they put people through that it's kind of prearranged where they get these?
That's
people.
What I'm wondering.
Is the fix in any way, or do you think this is completely legit?
Well, I think that it's fix only up until the point where they start picking the actual singers to compete in the, you know, when they select their final 12 or 32 or however many it is that they pick. You know, I think that that's when it really gets legitimate because, you know, you only can really do is just be good. You got to sing for real. You know, you can't come in with gimmicks at that point. So I think that the actual audition process, like, you know, what we're seeing on TV now, is just part of the whole, you know, to get people riled up, to get excited, and to create a whole big hoopla, you know. And
that
then
works.
When it gets into the actual competition, I think that's when it's for real.
All right, Dre Black, thanks for being on the show, dude.
Awesome. You told us everything we needed to do. Thank you,
thanks,
man. That was fantastic.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much.
See you later.
What a nice guy.
All right, so now
really, really nice guy. Answered everything. I believe you talk to somebody at that level that hasn't made it through, you're going to get a lot more of the real deal than if you talk to a guy like my friend Travis Tucker out there who has, you know, made it to the top 12, because I think they have to sign some stuff that really, you know, the people that get farther along in the competition, they really can't do a lot of talking.
I thought it was interesting that there were the three sets of judges, and the second he nailed with the Nigel and the other Simon are the producers, and how about that he wanted to do his song, and they said no.
I know.
Interesting.
Well, all that crap about a TV show. Buzz, are you not now at least a little bit intoxicated to watch it tonight?
No, because to me, every night, every show, every season is the same. And the thing that my latest observation is that it's a show that purports to take an average person and make them a superstar, when really it's just people who are already extremely good, or people who don't have a snowball's chance in hell. The middle gets left out of that, I think.
But the thing is,
it's great, though, Buzz.
You might be right about the middle being left out, but as far as the sameness rap, you're absolutely wrong. The thing that makes it great is that it is so unique. You never know who you're going to see.
The people
even with the real talent, you never know what kind of talent you're going to see. The winners would prove that. You've had different types of winners every single season. You really have. And that's what I like about the show.
I think really what they should do, if we're going to take this seriously, I was having this discussion with my girlfriend over the weekend about how I believe that American Idol is popular with men partly because men look at it almost like a sporting event.
Yes. Absolutely.
Sure. The guys that are really into it, you think like you do with football or basketball or baseball.
That's the same reality.
I'm going to have, you know, there's going to be a show on Tuesday,
right,
and then there's going to be a playoff on Wednesday night, and it's going to be live, and I'm going to see somebody win, and I am going to see somebody lose.
Right.
So if that's the case, and that's how we look at it every year, like Super Bowl of TV, why not just make the first couple of episodes preseason? Mm-hmm. Why not make them exhibition?
Right.
Why not say, all we're going to do tonight is just show you.
Entertain you.
All crappy ones.
Right.
All crappy ones for 2 weeks.
I can answer that.
Are you going to say that people would burn out on the crappy ones?
Not that they would burn out, but as much as I love to see the crappy people, I do like to see the occasional person who has a chance of getting through.
Have you seen that?
That makes it more interesting.
Okay, hold on. Have you seen that person yet this year?
I've seen the two kids from India might have a chance to go a little further along. I have not seen anybody yet who I think has a chance to be in the final group at all. You know, but I mean that. I believe in Memphis, you're going to get that. I think tonight you might get a little bit of that.
Well, I think it's a great analogy about the sports night.
It's totally, man, that is so spot on because the sports, it's the competition. And then when you latch on to somebody that you really like.
It's like rooting for your team.
Oh, completely like rooting for your team.
The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
You know, and NASCAR is the same. Somebody said, how do you get into NASCAR? You pick a driver. You pick a driver.
Right.
That's when it turns around for you. That's
who's your driver?
Who's your driver?
And it's also like any reality show, as they're setting the table for how it's ultimately going to end, they let you see what they want you to see. I mean, they've probably got some really great competitors that all we're going to see of them is waving their yellow ticket.
It does frustrate me a little bit on American Idol when you see, and we also had some talented people, and you see the people coming out high-fiving, and you never get to see them perform.
That's what I'm thinking. If it's like sports, why not just make it like the preseason? Okay. You're not going to see what Peyton Manning play in this game. Face it. It's the first game of the preseason.
Right.
If you're really a sucker for bad football and for bad players, watch it.
You know, the cliche, don't fix it if it ain't broken, has never been more apropos right now. Because really what they're doing the right thing right now.
They're winning.
Because we're watching it. We're watching it.
We're
anyway.
Talking about it.
We love it. I do
dopes.
Love it. It's the best. I mean,
because we're dopes.
Fox has the two best shows on television every January. That's the way it's going to be for
me. Here's why really it's like it's so sports oriented. Yeah. I am planning my day around it today.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, really, to the point where I'm thinking, I said to my girlfriend, we're going to have to eat tonight after 9 o'clock. And she said, why? I said, well, because I don't want to eat while I'm watching American Idol.
Of course not.
And she said, well, the president's coming on tonight. I said, well, we can eat during that.
Right.
Really, that's my mindset.
Can you?
We can't.
Let me look. The key for me is to keep expectations low.
No, there is no eating during American Idol.
Right.
And I'll be watching the State of the Onion tonight. I will be watching that just to see if there's any booing.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Which there won't be.
We'll see.
The way our system works, you know.
We'll see. I wish he would put on a show. Come out with a real Bush baby. I mean, come out with a baby of the Bush family.
Or how about coming out and sobbing and begging us for forgiveness?
Now, Mike, listen, you can't go wrong with babies. I think Bush comes out there tonight on
holding
TV.
A baby. How about he walks into the House chamber, holding a baby?
That's what I'm thinking.
Wouldn't that be amazing?
You know, the baby in the blanket, you know, coming in going, you know, anything.
This is George Bush the fifth.
Making him look more.
This is George H.W.W.H. the fifth.
A little more personable.
This is the son of my sister's grandson's niece.
Make you forget that there were just 28 guys killed in Iraq just this last weekend.
Amazing.
For God's sakes.
What's he going to say? It's, you know, it's going to be the same old.
Get her done.
There you go. Get her done.
We got to do this. Thank you, Dre Black. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.